Is repeat. Forbear to do thy mass.
Forbear to do thy mass.
My body is filled with dirty things.
My body is filled with dirty things.
And my vision has been.
My vision has been.
Bitten by the serpent of pride.
Bitten by the serpent of pride.
Due to my mortal conceptions.
Due to my mortal conceptions.
I am diseased.
Your accurate instructions
are the proper medicine
for
one suffering from such a fever.
And
they are cooling waters
for
one
scorched by the heat.
The conditioned soul has a body full of dirty things, bones, blood, urine, stool, and so forth. Nonetheless, the most intelligent man in this material world think they are this combination of blood, bones, urine, and stool. If this is so, why can't other intelligent men be made with these ingredients, which are so readily available? The entire world is going on under the bodily conception and creating a hellish condition unfit for any gentleman's living. The instructions given by King Rahunamba the instructions given to King Rahunamba by Jagrata are very valuable. They are like the medicine that can save one from the snake bite. The Vedic instructions are like nectar and cool water for one suffering from scorching heat. So we know from the 10th chapter, which is the discussion between Jagat and Mahārāja-ravana. In that chapter, Mahārāja-ravana first is sarcastically chastising him, jokingly, saying that you appear to be carrying this collection for a long time, it seems like, but he has just come, but Mahārāja-ravana is sarcastically chastising him, that you appear to be fatigued by carrying this collection for a long time. But still, Jagat could not understand, or he did not bother about what Mahārāja-ravana is saying. And then Mahārāja-ravana says, you are old, not so stout, your body is weak, even though Jagat was in his youth and strong. So Mahārāja-ravana is again chastising. After that, Mahārāja-ravana becomes a little serious because he is still not listening. So Mahārāja-ravana is saying, are you dead despite of life? Because he was not responding to anything that Mahārāja-ravana was saying. So Mahārāja-ravana is saying, are you dead despite of life within your body? And then he goes even higher, saying that, do you not know that I am your master? And then finally, when still Jagrat did not respond, Mahārāja-ravana is saying, you are mad, for this disobedience I will punish you. So because you have been disobedient, you are not responding or you are not acting what I have said, I will punish you. At that point, Jagrat responds. And all his questions or all his comments that Mahārāja-ravana put forth, he is answering. He is saying that, I am a spirit soul and this fatigue has nothing to do with the soul. It is for the body and I am aloof from the body. So it doesn't matter. This body and fatigue are not mine. And then he said, body designations like fat, stout, thinness, weakness, all this does not apply to the spirit soul because I am separate from that. And then he said, everything material has a beginning and end. And master servant, because Mahārāja-ravana said, I am a master, you should listen to me. And to that, Jagrata said, this master servant relationship is just temporary and conventional. Basically, it's with this life, it will finish. And next life, I might be your master and you might be my servant. And then finally, saying that you are saying that I am mad. So, even if I am mad, what is the use of punishing me? If you punish a madman, it's not going to rectify him anyway. So, what is the use of punishing me? Now, it is mentioned that two people are always in bliss. The one is in, one is who is transcendentalist, who is aloof, we see clearly. Jagrata was always in bliss, even though he was carried by the dacoits to be chopped off as a bali to goddess Durga. But he was still happy, he did not mind. So he was completely in bliss. So two people, it is mentioned, are always in bliss. One is one who is transcendentalist, who is completely aloof from this material world. And the second one is a madman. So if you go to a mental asylum, you will see they are always laughing, joking, enjoying their life. They don't have any miseries in life. And some of them act as if they were prime minister or president. So they are always in bliss. So it is mentioned in Shastra, two people are always in bliss. Transcendentalist and madman. And that is what Jagrata is saying. That I am a self-realized person, but even if I am mad, what is the use of punishing? So, he is giving an example like it is like beating a dead horse. However hard you beat a dead horse, is not going to run faster. Or grinding the flour. If you grind the flour, you are only going to get flour. What is the use? You are just wasting your energy. So, he is giving all these arguments. And at that point, Mahārāja-ravana, it clicks. Oh, this is not what he looks like. This personality is not like a madman or some beggar. He is an intelligent person. So he is putting, just to test him, Mahārāja-ravana is putting some more arguments in front of Jagrata. He is saying, the soul appears fatigued due to bodily lustre, right? Due to bodily labor. Like the milk and the rice in a pot experience the heat. So when you heat the milk in the pot, even the pot is heated, but the milk gets the effect of the pot. Even the milk gets boiling, right? Or if you have rice in the pot, when you heat the pot, even though the fire is just touching the pot, but also the rice gets cooked. So he's giving this argument. So he's giving this argument because Jagrata had mentioned, like, I'm aloof from this body. So this fatigue has nothing to do with me. This 49 bodily weaknesses are just for the body, not for me. But here, Maharaj Ramana is saying, because you are in the body, you are still affected by this pati. So soul gets affected by the pati. So, next point he is saying, about master-servant relationship, which Devrata mentioned, that is temporary and conventional. This life I am your servant, next life you will be my servant. So it is very temporary. In that, Maharaj Ramana is saying that it is king's duty as a ruler to punish his subjects, to look after his subjects, to correct his subjects. So he is talking about prescribed duty. So he is saying that if one is disobedient to the king's duty is to punish him. So he is also giving Sanskrit relevance of punishing Varnashram Dharma. King is a duty, occupational duty, to punish subjects. And then finally saying, engaging in one's occupational duty vanquishes the sin. So one engages in his prescribed duty, he will get rid of sin. So Maharaj Ramana is putting all these comments in front of Jatarata in chapter 10. And in the last chapter, what happens? Jatarata begins to instruct based on those points. So Jatarata is saying that materialistic people do not understand absolute truth. So, and this directly mentioned this in the first verse, that you are not very experienced. You pose yourself as a learned person, but because you are very proud of your knowledge, you are not so intelligent. Krishna exactly tells this similar verse in Bhagavad Gita 2.11, right? 2.11. Asochananda, Sochaswam, Pranavalamsa, Vasasar, Dadasananda, Tasamsa, Namasochananda, Pandita. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna that while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So exactly the same thing Jagavata is speaking in at the beginning of chapter 11. He is saying that you are speaking wise learned words, but you really don't know what real knowledge is because you are proud of your knowledge. And then the whole chapter basically is focusing on mind. How the mind is acting, how the mind is the cause of material entanglement. So he's saying, mind contaminated by three modes is like uncontrolled elephant. So as the elephant is, when it becomes uncontrolled, you can't stop it. I've seen videos from Kerala, right, where sometimes the elephant goes mad. And all they have to do is run away from it. They can't stop it. Even the person, Mahout, who controls the elephant, his owner, he also does not go near him. I saw one of the videos which is that Prabhu in Brisbane now? He showed me of his hometown, where the elephant went mad. And that Mahout, the person who is the owner, he went to control him because he had so much of a relationship with him, he thought, I'll be able to control him. And this elephant just picked him up and threw him and crushed him below his feet because of madness. And then it was shown in the video that after he came back to senses, this elephant was crying day and night for doing that. And it was showing that he was literally crying, like there were tears coming because he killed his own owner. So they have got very good relationship, but when they go mad, nobody can stop them. So it is mentioned that mind is like that. If mind is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, it's like an uncontrolled mad elephant. So Jagrata is giving this example. Then saying, mind expands pious and impious activities through the knowledge of senses and working senses. Knowledge, senses and working senses. So he's saying that all the senses, they just act under the control of the mind, which is uncontrolled. And then he's saying, mind keeps one in the material world to suffer and endure. So it is only the mind which binds one to this material world. Mind is the cause of the samsara. One goes to different bodies in this material world just because of this mind. And mind causes bondage and liberation. So that is a very interesting point that Rav mentions. Mind causes bondage, at the same time mind causes liberation. And gives this example of a lantern. I'm not sure if you have seen a lantern in a village. I remember in my childhood when I used to. These days you don't see any lanterns here. But a lantern has to, like if when you ignite the flame, if it is not ignited properly, it will turn the whole glass black. It will just be dark and the whole glass from inside will with carbon and black. But when the lantern is switched on or properly ignited, it illuminates the whole house. And so initially when you don't pump or don't have those wicks properly in the ghee or oil, then the whole lantern becomes black. So that same example Jatavata is giving, that the same mind can be the cause of bondage in this material world. Turn it whole black, or it can illuminate one and liberate one from this material world. So when Jatavata is giving all this argument and saying that it is this body is a, this person, the soul is a Chetana. He is within this body, he knows what's going on in the body. At the same time, there is another Chetana who is a super soul, Paramatma, who is guiding the soul in within this body. And finally, in that chapter, he is mentioning that how to control the mind. The first thing he is saying is to neglect the mind. If you get some demands from the mind, you should know that whether it's right or not. Use your intelligence to see if it is not suitable for your spiritual life, it is not serving the Supreme Lord, then just neglect it. Neglect the demands of the mind. So he's saying three things are required. The first thing is to neglect the mind. Second thing he's saying, be attentive. Be vigilant. Be attentive to the demands of the mind. Be vigilant that you are not going sidetracked. Be attentive to the service. And the third thing he's mentioning is, cut the knot with the weapon of service to the Guru and Krishna. So these are the three things he's mentioning, how you can control the mind. So the first thing is, be neglectful. Neglect the demands of the mind. Immediately if you have, and most of the times as devotees we know what is right and wrong. We have studied Sastra, we have heard so many lectures. When these demands come into our mind, we know that this is not appropriate, or this is not going to help me in my spiritual life. So as soon as that thought we receive, do not dwell on the thought that let me think. Because sometimes those thoughts are apparently giving us some pleasure, mental pleasure. So we continue to think over it. We continue to dwell over it. But a person who is intelligent, who is serious in spiritual life, will immediately neglect it and divert his attention to something else. As kids, sometimes they demand something. So the easiest way is not to say them no. If you tell them no, they will say, no, I want it. They will keep hammering on that point. But the easiest way is to give them something else. Paramdarshan, never that way. Give them a higher taste or divert their attention to something else. And that way they will forget the original thing that they were demanding. So similarly, the mind, we have to neglect it or divert it. And the second is be attentive, pramada. And the third one, Jagrata is giving, with the weapon of service to Guru and Krishna, you can control the mind. So this is where last chapter ends. Against the beginning of 12th chapter. Now, Maharaj Ravana is completely convinced. Like this person, no ordinary person can speak this philosophy to this extent. And since Maharaj Ravana is emotional, so he automatically, he could understand the level of, devotional level of Jagannatha. So immediately got off this chariot, and now his offer is, in the last verse we heard yesterday, his offer is, he's offering his obeisances to Jagannatha, is surrendering onto him. And in this verse today, he is mentioning two parts. The first thing is saying, in the first section he is saying, what is my condition? So he's saying, my body is filled with dirty things, pudeha. Pudeha means, puda means, pura kachara we say. Pura means dirt, what is useless. And we know the pastime of sleeping beauty, right? In that pastime, once the prince was attracted to a princess and he offered her to marry, he proposed her to marry him. At that point, princess said, how about you come after a week or two and then I will accept your proposal. So the prince went off, said, okay, it's a good proposal, I'll come back in a week or two. And he went off, and this princess ate all this herbivores where she vomited and loose motion and all those things. And in a couple of weeks, she lost all her lustre. And she put all her vomit and stool and everything in a big pot. So, when the prince came after 2 weeks, knocked on the door, the princess opened. And prince said, "I have an appointment with the princess." And prince, she was the princess, right? But what she did was, she took the prince to the pot and said, "The princess is in this pot." So, because of all those probably she was eating, she lost all her lustre. And the prince could not recognize her. And when he saw that, and he could understand what princess wanted to say. And so the point is, what we see externally is very temporary. So this story beautifully narrates how this body is filled with puna, dirty things. And in this verse it is mentioned, Prabhupada is giving the conditioned soul has a body full of dirty things, bones, blood, urine, stool, and so forth. And Prabhupada is further explaining that if the intelligent people claim this to be everything, this is available freely, why can't they create another intelligent person with us, with this all ingredients? So, it's interesting, if you, once I remember, Devan Maharaj was here recently, tomorrow's new class, he showed a video of a person who was skinned, just the skin had not there, skin was not there on that person, there was a photograph of that person after he removed the skin in one of his presentations, he was showing this. And once this 1 mm layer of over ourselves is gone, you can imagine how beautiful or handsome you will look. You wouldn't even want to go and look at yourself. So Maharaj was making this point that this surface, this skin is hiding, it's illusory, it's hiding what we really are made of. So once this 1 mm layer is gone, you wouldn't even want to look at yourself in the mirror. So we should not be proud of this skin that is there on our body. And so Prabhupada mentioned how 6 kinds of transformation happens to the body, right? The body takes birth, grows, sustains, there are byproducts, then decays and death. So this is what the transformation goes on continuously. Very interesting point in 12th Canto, 4th chapter, annihilation mentioned. 12th Canto, 4th chapter, there are 4 kinds of annihilations are mentioned. The first one is niyamita, continuous annihilation. There is continuous annihilation happening. Dehi no sin, yathade kaumaram yavanam jara, tathade yantara kaate dhikash patranam jari. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Continuously a person is passed from his body to youth to old age. There is continuously we are passing through different bodies. We don't realize we are passing through bodies. But if you look at the child, 5-year-old child is different, and we were different when we were 5. When we were 10, we were different. 15, 20, 40, 50, 60, 70. We change our bodies continuously. We don't realize. So this is daily activity of changing our bodies. But we are still attached to this body. But in a year's time, everything in our body will be changed, replaced. So there is nothing to be attached to. So then there is Nainitika, like at the end of Brahma's day, and Krishna is giving this in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying, "Ava Brahma Bhunagata Punaravartina." Right from God Brahma, who is for the longest lifespan. It is mentioned that Brahma leaves a 1 day of Brahma, which is known as a Kalpa. There are 1,000 yuga cycles, and each yuga cycle, which consists of Satyuga, Treta, Dwapara and Kaliyuga, this is 4.32 million years. So we are in the Kaliyuga phase of our yuga cycle, and Kaliyuga is the shortest yuga, which is 432,000 years. So one yuga cycle like that is 4.32 million years. Like that, 1 day of Brahma is 1,000 yuga cycles. So how much is that?
Very long.
Sorry?
Very big.
Yeah, 4.32 million is 1 yuga cycle. So 1,000 yuga cycle is? A have seen billions. These days we don't see billions, so we don't know. But 1 million particular thousand is 1 million. So 1 day of Brahma is 4.32 billion years. So just 1 day of Brahma is about 4.32 billion years. And like that is the night of Brahma. And like that Brahma lives for 100 years. So the life of Brahma is so long. But it is mentioned Abrahma, Krishna is saying in the nature of Abrahma, even Brahma has to die and take birth again. And right from Brahma to the lowest insect have to continuously die. And it is mentioned this annihilation happens at the end of Brahma's day. When Brahma's 1 day finishes, everything gets destroyed and goes into the body of Vishnu. So this is Nainitika. So Nitya annihilation is, we are continuously going into different bodies within this life. Nainitika is like from after the day of Brahma, one kalpa, everything gets annihilated. And then there is Prakritika. Annihilation is when the life of Brahma finishes, everything gets annihilated and goes back into Pradhan, Mahatattva. And then again the creation happens. The whole universe is destroyed and again the universe is created at the end of 100 days of Brahma. And then it is mentioned there is Antyatika. Antya annihilation is when you become liberated. So that is the fourth level of liberation where you don't have to take birth again. So Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhavana, Punaravartina Arjuna, Mahavetatu Pandya Punarjanmana Vijayate. So once you attain me, you don't have to come back to this material world again. So this is Maharaj Ravana is mentioning that this body is Pura. So now he is, Devarata is saying that this body is Pura. This verse is spoken by Maharaj Ravana. So he is saying that my body is sometimes, in the first verse he is offering his obeisances, and in this verse he is saying that now he has realized that whom he is speaking to, he is not speaking to some beggar, he is speaking to someone who is very transcendental. So he is accepting him as a spiritual master. So when you accept, you go in front of a spiritual master, you speak the truth. You keep everything external outside and you just speak whatever is truth. Whatever you reveal your heart to your spiritual master. So here Maharaj Ravana is revealing his heart to Jagannatha because he has accepted him as his spiritual master. So he's saying this, body is filled with everything, Sura. And second thing is saying this, my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride. Manahi Vilasha Dristi. There's pride in my heart because of this position. So usually when you have got a position, when you've got strength, when you're strong, in the last verse he's mentioning, in the last verse of last chapter he's mentioning, I'm as powerful as Lord Shiva, but I'm still afraid of Vaishnavapra. So he's confessing that in the last. So he was very powerful king. And here he's saying, because of that power, because of that position as a king, there is pride which is entered into my heart. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita is mentioned Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi Siddhavam Balavan Sukhi. So even though each and this is the position of each and every living entity, 1614, it is mentioned every living entity has got this, whether he is rich or poor, but he thinks in, I'm the enjoyer. Everything is for my enjoyment. So even though we don't have any strength, still, even though we are not wealthy, we still any fame or beauty, even though we don't have any of those things, but still we think that Ishwaraham, I am the enjoyer, I am the bhogi, I am the Lord, I am the enjoyer. Siddhavam Bhagavansuki, I am happy. But really everyone is suffering in this material world. And what is the topmost? So even if one is able to conquer all the material vices, so there is last thing which one is very difficult to conquer is called pride. It is mentioned in Srila Raghunatha's Goswami mentioned in Manusiksa, Pratishtasa, Drishtasa, Svabhasha Brahmani, Medhati Nate. And in the translation it is mentioned, why is it that deceit still lingers in the heart despite one's having given up all material sense enjoyment. So this desire still lingers in the heart. Even though one gets rid of all the material enjoyment, one can become completely renounced. But this one thing, and this verse has been composed in order to answer this question. O mind, how can a pure divine love appear in the heart as long as this shameless dog-eating outcast woman? So this pride is referred to as shameless dog-eating, outcast dog-eating woman of desire for prestige is audaciously dancing there in the heart. So, Srila Raghunatha Goswami is mentioning that this pride is the last snare of Maya. Even though one can get rid of everything, but the pride does not go from the heart very easily. So one still lingers for this pride. And Srila Raghunatha Goswami mentions that how to get rid of this pride. Therefore, always remember and serve the immeasurably powerful commanders of the army of Sri Krishna. So just by the service to the devotees, one can get rid of this pride. So one has to serve the devotees. And this is the conclusion of this chapter also. If you read this chapter, I think this whole chapter is Jagrat speaking to Maharaj. At the end of Jagrat is giving different instructions to Maharaj Ravana, and at the end he is giving this as a conclusion. If one wants to get rid of his pride, his material body, his suffering, the only remedy is to serve Guru and Krishna and the devotees of the Lord. So this is the gist of this chapter. So two things the Maharaj Ravana confesses is this body is Kura, and secondly he is mentioning this vision has been, my vision has been bitten by the pride. Bitten by the serpent of pride. And then he's saying, your words are cooling, like cooling waters, hima ampa, for one squashed by the heat. So when you are in the desert, when you are suffering the heat of the sun, all you want is some water, cooling water. Every morning we speak, sing this verse, samsaradavana, loka, tranaya, tarumaya, dana, dana, pampi. So we sing this, that just as the cloud pours water on the forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master delivers the material affliction, afflicted world, by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. So by serving the spiritual master, one can extinguish this fire of material life. So same thing, Maharaj Ravana has mentioned that this cooling waters, your words are like cooling waters for one scorched by the heat. And then he's saying, proper medicine for one suffering from fever. So your words are like the medicine for one suffering from fever. Because he mentioned here twice, aushadam and abhadam. Medicine has been mentioned twice in this verse. So he's saying, your words are like the medicine, abhadam or aushadam for one suffering from fever or disease. So this is one thing, a person has to come to this realization that one is suffering in this material world, one is diseased. Unless you know that you are diseased, you will not work to cure that disease. So it's very important that we understand each and every entity or at least ourselves, we are diseased, we have got some disease. And what is the disease of? Sorry?
Bhava
Roga, yeah, that is the disease, but forgetful of Krishna. So we have to work towards, or as Prabhupada mentions, there are only two things that are required: always remember Krishna and never forget him. So this is the disease of forgetfulness of Krishna. Okay, and so I'll conclude with the last verse of this chapter, where Jagrat is giving very powerful instruction. He's saying that simply by association with the exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge. Just by associating with the devotees, we can acquire perfect knowledge. Second thing is mentioned, with the sword of that knowledge, one can cut to pieces the illusory association within this material world. So just by that knowledge that we acquire back from the association of the devotees, we can cut through the pieces of illusory association within this material world. And then he's saying, through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting. Sharanam and Ketanam. So, in the rest of the chapter, Jagannath is emphasizing on the point of association of the good. So, obviously, because we see from his own life, he has learned one thing. He fell down because one of the things was he was not in the association of the devotees. And so he's in this chapter, which is like the conclusion of his whole understanding, he's mentioning that the association of the devotees is the most important thing. One has to always seek association of the devotees. Okay, I'll stop here. Is there any comments or corrections or questions?
Regarding the concept of antithika, which is liberation,
the living entity is called Nitya Bhattha because it is eternally conditioned. So, when one constitution consciousness, does it mean that Nitya Bhattha actually ends?
Yeah, so when we are in this month, we are called Nitya Bhattha because we have been in this material body for such a long time that it's difficult to calculate the amount of time that we spend. So something which is kind of too long, it tends to infinity. So infinity is something, a number which cannot be described, right? So that is why it is known as infinity. We have been in the material body because it's for so long. But actually, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, like we all belong to, at one point we were in the spiritual world. And then when we perfect our lives, when we become completely, eradicate all the sinful reactions, then we go back home, back to God. When we go to law for Krishna, we just go back and we become liberated. So then yes, we are not Nitya Bhattha in that sense. So it's just because we are in this material world for so long, we are called Nitya Bhattha. Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.